Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com. You're listening to heritageradionetwork.org, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station. We're millions strong, with folks tuning in from over 200 countries. We are education. We are entertainment. We are the future of food. May is our membership drive. Become a member and support us while receiving e-newsletters, advanced invites, special discounts, and a membership card. We need your support. Visit our website and click the donate button to become a member today. Thank you for believing in us and enjoy the show.
Good morning. You're listening to In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm your host, Joe Campanelli. Before we get started today, I just want to give a shout out to our membership drive that we're doing here at Heritage Radio Network. I'm a member. I was a member before being a host. I definitely encourage everyone during the month of May. We're just doing a little drive. So go to heritageradionetwork.org, click the Donate Now button, and at each level of membership, you get all sorts of great perks and rewards. And so definitely everyone check it out. So we're going to get started today. Really excited today. This is such a cool, this is going to be a really fun show. We have Ivy Mix and Lynette Marrero, two of the top bartenders here in New York City. They've come together to create something that that is very cool. It's called Speed Rack. And the idea of Speed Rack is that it's a competition, an all-female bartender competition, and raises money for breast cancer research. So I want to hear a little bit more about how this all got started and about the event, but I also want to just welcome both of you here.
Thanks. Good morning. Thanks for having us here.
And we also have a surprise guest. It's nice to see old buddy in the house.
A.K.A. Party Crasher. I heard there was free booze.
So we have Johnny Iazzini here. One of the best pastry chefs in the country. Formerly John George pastry chef for like 7 years.
Ten. That's how
years.
Time goes by. It's scary.
Oh my God. So sorry to shortchange you those 3 years. Like, those were three.
I wish I could
years.
Have those back.
And host on Top Chef Just Desserts, cookbook author, all around great guy.
All around slacker.
Well, first, Ivy and Lynette, tell us a little bit about how you got started and what Johnny's doing here as well.
Well, first, Johnny, actually, this Thursday is our Speed Rack National Finals event, Thursday, May 16th at Element in the East Village. And Johnny is our guest judge. It's his first time judging Speed Rack. He is joining a powerhouse panel of Dale DeGroff, Audrey Saunders, and Julie Reiner to judge the ladies in battle for the title of Miss Speed Rack USA.
Wow. Yeah. Celebrity judge.
more like comic relief, I think. Just to keep it light and fun, I think.
Johnny, have you ever judged a cocktail competition?
I've actually done a lot. I did a rematch, actually, last year, which is another craziness. Like, I don't even know how that happened. Like, just ask me. It's like, I don't know how many competitors there was, but they had to do, was it 10 or 20 drinks?
It's 20. I don't remember. I think it's 13 drinks. He judged when I had competed in rematch last year,
and she threw champagne all over me or something. It's crazy. It's how fast you can make 10 different cocktails, I think, and like it was insane how these guys were just building cocktails, and you have to taste. It was hard because like you're a guinea pig for like all these horrible cocktails. So after the 23rd competitor of the 10th drink each, you're done. I think the guy next to me fell off his stool, passed out.
No,
Oh yeah. I'm not going to say names, TJ, but he blacked out off his stool. Like,
is it like a wine judging competition where you sniff it, you observe, you slowly, and then you spit it out?
No, they were gargling and swallowing.
Yeah, that's rematch. That's how rematch goes. The whole purpose is you're making people literally make 12 drinks in a minute and 52 seconds. Yeah. Whereas in Speed Rack, I mean, you got to wonder. Speed Rack's a little bit different, where we really try to aim for, like you're in one of the best bars in the world, as many of these women work in the best bars in the world in the country. And the whole purpose is that it's something like they are sitting, they're working a Friday night and they're working service bars. So service bars where you're making drinks for the masses, but you're always going to have a few seats in front of you when you're working service well. So our purpose is like, okay, you're working service well, you're making drinks for hundreds of people, and all of a sudden, Johnny Uzzini, Audrey Saunders, Julie Reiner, and Dale DeGroff sit down in front of you, and you have to make them four of the most perfect, delicious, random classic cocktails that they throw out at you that you can. And Rematch is a little bit more like,
ah! Although, to our credit, Miss SpeedRack USA, the current reigning Miss SpeedRack USA, Yael Van Groff, smoked the competition in San Diego this year and took the West Coast title and pretty much impressed the hell out of everybody. So it was the most beautiful round we'd ever seen. So she's just amazing. And she'll be here in New York at the finals on Thursday to give up her crown to the next young lady who'll shaker.
I love Yael. I love sitting in front of her. She's so much fun.
Wow. You know, I've done one cocktail competition, and that will be the first and the last. The Royer competition, which we both were part of, and I think you did pretty well in that one, huh?
I took third place, which wasn't bad. It was a nice solid check. I was not sad about that. No.
And I was up there making a cocktail, it's people of the same caliber of the judges that you guys have. I think it was Dale DeGroff, me, Paul Picot, and Steve Olson, and I am just shaking. Like you can see, it's a good thing that the bar goes up to your waist, because my knees were like knocking back and forth, and I was stumbling over things, and it was just the most nerve-wracking thing. Even for me, more so than like, I've been on like some national TV before, and that you can't see the other people on the other side. You don't know who's watching, but here you have people who you respect and look up to so much in the industry, and they are analyzing you, and that is tough.
Absolutely. I don't know how the girls do it. You know, Ivy and I constantly are like, thank God we just run this, because I cannot sit in front of those people and deal with that pressure. It's cameras, lights, and they handle it so well. It's quite impressive to see the caliber of women and how they handle the task, because it's not easy.
Yeah, we literally have like 400 people. It's like a rock concert with 400 people at these events, and we have these women up there on stage with the lights and the camera and the action. You have these judges who are sitting there, and you know, in the last week I've been getting all of these telephone calls from these women who are competing, because now that Lynette and I have started this, we're almost like fairy godmothers. I don't know, but we get like lots of telephone calls. I get this call from one of these girls, and her name is Lacey Hawkins, and she's from Portland. She calls me. She's like, you have no idea what it's like up there. And she's telling me, and I'm like, I don't. And I have no desire to ever get up there and do what you guys do. I'm glad we started this instead of
competing. It is scary. It is scary. Johnny, how are you going to approach judging cocktails differently from, let's say, dessert?
There is no difference for me. It's about flavor. It's about blend. You know, it's about balance. I mean, whether it's a dessert and there's textures of flavors and balance of acidity, flavor, size, it's the same thing with cocktails. When these guys design and build cocktails, like, I'm familiar with a lot of cocktails, and they sent me the specs. So yesterday I was so good, I didn't text. I was like, I'm studying my specs. And like, I have a pretty serious bar at home. You haven't been to my place yet, but I built out this crazy bar in my apartment. I have chillers and anti-griddles and CO2 tanks, and it's nuts. I have a separate freezer just for ice. Like, it's nuts in my apartment. So I was building cocktails and just tasting stuff that I wasn't familiar with yesterday. Today, just to be prepared for tomorrow.
Wow, you're taking it seriously.
But I mean, I'm right next to, you know, I'm going to be sitting between Audrey and Julie. So anything I don't know, they're going to whisper in my ear. Saying,
like, what'd you get on that one?
I love it. I'm going to have a.
And Johnny's been a part of the cocktail scene. I mean, yeah. Really, I don't even remember when we first met. It's so many years ago now, but you've always been around the scene and been around, and so you're kind of like adopted family. And what we really love is having someone with a different palate and coming to it and approaching it with a different vision, because that really does help the girls. And I think what it's all about is putting yourself in front of these people who, these women don't get access to them, you know, every day. We're really fortunate. We live in New York. The chance of running into great people, you know, celebrity tasters and, you know, the Steve Olsons and those people is quite high, but you know, all these other girls from the middle of nowhere, you know, people go
like St. Louis. Yeah,
they don't get this access. Mm-hmm. And so that's what's really great. So here's your moment to actually get your cocktails critiqued and judged by top people, and hopefully make you a better bartender and a more conscious and aware bartender. So that's what's really awesome too.
Yeah, that's really one of the bigger purposes of Speed Rack. Is not just, I mean, you know, like I said, we're getting all these telephone calls like, I don't know what I'm gonna do, and I'm like, ladies, just that you're here is the purpose. Like, and I remember when I was a kid, I was the most competitive, still am. I'm identical twins in my blood. I'm so competitive. But I remember like playing Little League, and the coach would be like, it doesn't matter if you win or lose. And I'd be like, no, damn it, it does matter. And I'm going to win. And that's just the way it goes. And I tell the girls now, I'm like, no, it really doesn't matter if you win or lose, just being here, and like getting up on that stage and having the opportunity to that's what Speed Rec is. It's a platform that if these women want to step on top atop of it and demonstrate that, you know, they can do as good as the guys, that they should get hired, that, you know, they're not, they're a little bit more than just a pretty face, you know, it's good. And I think that they're doing that.
I'm just here for the pretty faces. I'm going to do well tomorrow.
Yeah. There are lots of pretty faces, that's for sure.
All right, well, Ivy and Lynette, you know, you've both worked in some of the best bars here in New York, Clover Club, Rye House, which got, you know, Time Out Awards. You know, you worked with Audrey Saunders, like all sorts of great experience. Where did you first meet? How did this idea come together? Tell us.
I'm gonna let Ivy tell the story because she has the whole spiel, and it's kind of, it's a fun little romantic story, the tale of how we met.
Exactly. So we first met actually when I was a cocktail waitress at Mayowell, and Phil Ward was scrambling to get someone to work, and he calls Lynette. He's like, "I need someone to work this shift." So I just started there. Mayowell had been open for like a month or something.
Probably, yeah.
And Lynette comes in, and I'm like, "Hey," and I'm kind of like, "Oh God, this lady's gonna work with me, and she doesn't know what she's doing. And this is, you know, it's a Friday night. This is gonna suck." And halfway through the night, I'm like, "Hey, we work really well together," and we're like, "Yeah, like this is great." And then after the night was over, we went to have you ever been to Eastern Block?
I've never been to Eastern Block.
It's like a crazy, grungy gay bar in the East Village. Anyway, so we go there.
Let me just say, I'm really glad that you asked me, as opposed to saying, "You've been to Eastern Block, right?" Yeah. Well, I'm glad that there was the question.
I like leaning people up to that. They're like, "You went where?"
Well, you do hang out with your mom a lot, Joe.
Yeah. So
maybe I'll take her there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's great. There's like lots of 70s porn playing on old TVs in the walls. But we go there, and Phil was having the most uncomfortable time, and we bonded immediately. We're like, "This is the greatest. Phil's having a bad time." And then we're both in the industry. We're living and working in New York. And then I was bartending at a place called Fort Defiance in Red Hook with St. John Frizzell. And someone was like, you gotta join Speed Rat, or you gotta join LUPEC. I'm like, "What's LUPEC?" And like, it's Ladies United for the Preservation of Endangered Cocktails. Like, Lynette Morero is the president. And I was like, "Sweet, that sounds awesome. I want to join that." So I wrote Lynette. I'm like, "Hey, you know, I want to join LUPEC." It's like, "Okay, you're in." And I started doing volunteer work. Fast forward a while, you know, so we're like acquaintances. We see each other. It's like, "Hey, nice to see you," blah, blah. But then how Speed Rat came to be was I was actually on a sailboat in San Francisco when the concept Speed Rat came to me. It was a whole bunch of us were hanging out, a bunch of bartenders on a sailboat, and we were joking around about this thing that a few of us were asked to do. And my friend and I were joking around that we were asked, as female bartender and myself, we were asked essentially, what they said to us literally was, "Can you please do this thing? We have no women. Like, we have no women. Please, like, go, like, step in front of a camera, say blah, blah, blah. We have no women. We really need you to do it." So we were joking around, like, "Ha, ha,
I've,
ha."
I've asked that same thing before.
Well, yeah, exactly. "We have no women." But we thought it was really funny because when this thing came out, it was, like, all these huge names. You know, it was, like, Richie Beccato and, you know, whoever, all these great names. And it was like me and my friend Rachel, and we were like, why are we in that list? And it's because, because we're ladies and we have, you know, she's much more well endowed than I am. But, you know, but when we have something that they want to show, they need a little variation. So we were going to make speed. So we thought of the name Speed Rack, and Speed Rack originally was just going to be video of no head, just body, of like no bra, swimsuit, like of women double shaking, making French 75s. So like double shaking, like lots of movement, like popping open bottles of champagne, like really
good. That
I know, right? Really gratuitous stuff. And we're like, yeah, that's what Speed Rack's gonna be. And it was all fun and good. But then I left San Francisco. We're like, haha, this is gonna be the funniest thing ever. And I started thinking about it a little bit more, and I was like, why is it that no one knows any ladies? I'm like, I know ladies. Like, I know lots of ladies who bartend, but at that time, when I thought about them, if you went into the best bars in New York, it was very unlikely you were going to see a lady behind the bar. There were very, very few. Mm-hmm. And there were many, many female bartenders, but they're all, like, living under a rock somewhere. And I was like, hey, we can make Speed Rack into something that's, like, good for ladies. You know, like, let's just have an all-female bartending competition that's baller and have these ladies, have people come and support. And that's all I had. And I knew I wanted to be for breast cancer because I figured, you know, Speed Rack, you know, push the double entendre.
That makes sense.
Make it a triple entendre. Like, make it go. And it was a Super Bowl a few years ago, and Lynette, I'm at Mulholland's, and then Lynette comes in with her husband, Ty, and we sit down. I'm like, hey, so good to see you. And I'm like, hey, I can't believe I never told you about this idea I have called Speed Rack. It's for ladies and boobs, and that's all I had. And they're like, oh, let's meet. Let's meet next week and talk about it. So we did, and then this tiny kernel of an idea totally transformed into this massive thing that we've been doing for the last 2 years. Like, we're literally on a rock tour. We travel across the country. We're basically married now.
It's ironic because I got out of the musical theater business because I was like, oh, I don't want to be doing national tours. I want to stay home. And the irony now is like, oh, I'm on tour. I'm on a national tour and working, you know, our butts off. But again, like, what's great about it is this connection. LUPEC, when we started here in New York, it was, again, inspired because I had just seen a couple of these women bartending in bars. And at the time, I was a brand ambassador, and I had to get out of my comfort zone and not just go to the bars that I knew. So I found Erin Reese bartending at Louis 649. And I went in there, and she was practicing her cocktails for Tales of the Cocktail. She was going to make this drink for the competition. And I was like, oh, my God, this woman's amazing. And why doesn't anyone know her? So I approached Julie actually at the Mayawell opening. I said, hey, if I start a New York City chapter of LUPEC, would you be supportive of it? And she was. And, you know, she gave me my start in bartending in New York. I came as being a cocktail waitress, and she promoted me, and so she's been very important in our histories and journeys, really, for where we are now. And that's pretty great that she's always been supporting the women bartenders. But, you know, she'll be just as hard on everybody, and that's, I think, the key is, like, Audrey and Julie are not exactly like, oh, coddling women. They're tough.
They're very much like the ruler on the fingers. Yeah. Like, oh, whack, you know.
They're willing. They're just as hard on everybody, but they identify talent and promote them. And that's really, we were very fortunate and lucky to get to where we are because of, you know, women like that who paved the way too. You know, and when Audrey stalked Dale for a job, you know, he hired her because she was hardworking, and that's pretty cool that he, you know, gave her a leg up, even though she couldn't bartend at the Rainbow Room because she was a girl. But he worked in her with other projects.
And that was actually a rule of the Rainbow Room.
I believe so. There were no women bartending there.
That's crazy.
Wow, I never knew that. But
those jackets, the short-waisted jackets, would look very unflattering with boobs.
And that's the thing. And that's the thing that's so funny. I mean, when I tell the story about how Speed Rack began, you know, for right now, kind of speakeasy cocktail bars, I mean, they're amazing and we all love them, but they're the whole mustachioed, suspender-wearing trend, thank God, is kind of going by the wayside. And that's one of the things I always joked around with Lynette about. I'm like, you know, it was hard for a woman to become a quote-unquote mixologist because we look stupid in suspenders and we can't grow mustaches, so there's no place for us behind a bar, you know. But now it's changing, which is good.
Yeah, but there's cool people like Sasha always made everybody, which is what I always thought his model was great. Like, the guy's cocktail waitress, the girl's cocktail waitress, everyone hop behind the bar, and that is a great model. And I think, you know, everyone should be able to do both, because sometimes you'll be asked to pick up a tray and you better be really well-versed in how to sell to a table. And, you know, especially as people are opening their own bars and things, you know, I look at like Toby Maloney and those guys, you know, pouring ribbons. You know, Toby worked in Milk and Honey, and he's the first person, like 90% of the time, see him with a tray, and he's letting the young guns behind the bar start, get that experience. And he's more nurturing and willing to throw in. So that's really a great place to see where the industry is.
And, you know, I think that whole, the suspenders and the mustache, and even like the very stuffy service, all of that is going, you know, that's gonna be a thing of the past. And you're gonna have people who are real people who care about hospitality, in terms of bartenders, in terms of pastry, right? It's gonna be people are still gonna expect high quality, but it's gonna be approachable and it's gonna be nice and people are gonna enjoy it. But we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna do a mini Speed Rack competition. Which is going to be really fun.
When that's going down.
And stay tuned to Heritage Radio
Network.
We
should blind judge them.
This one's called Dirty Hands by Eula on heritageradionetwork.org. We'll be right back.
back on In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm here with Ivy Mix and Lynette Marrero, the co-founders of SpeedRack, and Johnny Iuzzini, who is a friend of both Lynette and Ivy, and also a guest judge for the upcoming SpeedRack competition this Thursday. We were talking a little bit in the break about how important it is that all the proceeds for SpeedRack go to breast cancer research and how that's affected you personally, Johnny.
Yeah, I mean, more and more. I mean, especially now that I'm out of the restaurants on a day-to-day basis, I'm able to get more involved. And I think it's amazing how people in the industries, leaders in the industries, you know, like Ivy and Lynette and me, and like there's just like everybody who's applying themselves, who have a voice and have developed a voice through social media or through any way else, is now applying themselves in their brand to help charity, you know. And I think it's super important, you know. And for me, especially, breast cancer is important. I lost my mom at a young age, and so ever since then, even before then, you know, she got us involved in it. And I do a lot of cancer work, you know, across the board. I'm a spokesperson for Cookies for Kids Cancer, which is, you know, pediatric cancer is the number one killer of children under 18, and people don't realize that.
Wow.
So between that and breast cancer, the two huge ones for me. And any way I can help, you know, and I think it's super important. And what these women do, and how all these proceeds and getting all these people in their industry involved for such a positive thing, mm-hmm. is huge. It's huge. I have nothing but respect for these ladies.
And so what does your work for pediatric cancer entail? What's that like?
So Cookies for Kid Cancer is essentially, what we do is we throw bake sales all around the country, mm-hmm. And all the proceeds go towards pediatric cancer. So, you know, they need to raise a certain amount of money to get a treatment started and going. So, you know, we raise $75,000, and that could get us a treatment started. And then within a couple of years, children are now being treated for it, and it's helping. It's making a huge difference. And it's just a positive thing. You know, people love to bake. It's a way to get people and families back together in the home, in the kitchen. But it's also a way to raise a lot of money for such an important cause.
That's huge. We were talking a little bit about what your week's been like, or your past month has been like. It sounds like you're volunteering at, like, you're attending, you're judging, you're spending a lot of your time doing charity work, going to these events. What is your life like these days?
It's a little bit crazy, man. Like, I just finished shooting my second cookbook, and being out of the restaurant allows me to do all these things that I really love to do, a lot of charity stuff. But it's kind of fun, you know. My life has changed dramatically in the last year. You know, I went from spending the last 24 years straight, whatever, in a kitchen in a basement somewhere, you know, working 6 days a week, 16 hours a day, to now being able to go to dinners and go to these events and support these people that, you know, I care about. And it's a lot of fun, you know. I mean, I'm working forward now to – I'm actually working on building a chocolate factory, a bean-to-bar chocolate factory, coffee roaster, and distillery all under one roof is the goal. So we're putting the plans together. We're putting the people in line for that. But it's going to be – I'm going to come back with a vengeance for sure.
Wow, chocolate, coffee, and booze. That's it's like my dream place.
Me too.
Just call it addiction.
Just call it addiction. Wow.
That's a good – I might have to – I'm going to write that down.
By the website.
All right, so you might have heard some clattering and the clinking and clattering in the background. Ivy, tell us what's going on. What do you guys have going on here?
So Lynette and I are going to demonstrate how we do a speed rack round. We're only going to be making two drinks rather than the four that's usually required to make on stage. Just to give a little flavor of what's going on, Lynette and I have done this a whole bunch. We do example rounds every time we do a speed rack. So basically how speed rack works is we have a preliminary round where we take the 18 women or 16 women and we whittle them down to 8. Because if we did the bracketed round robin style competing that is up on stage, which is what we are known as for the competition, it would be a little, we'd be there all day, basically. Mm-hmm. That competition would last forever. So the way that we do it is we have a preliminary round, and what we found out in the beginning was that none of the girls want to be the first in the preliminary round. So Lynette and I have come to giving example rounds of how to do speed rack, basically. And usually she free pours as an example, because there's different ways to make drinks. You can either be really kind of stingy, which is the way I always make drinks, like using jiggers and like making sure that my quarter of an ounce is exactly a quarter of an ounce and, you know, what have you. Or you can free pour. Lynette is much more accurate at the free pouring, so she's going to do that, and I'm going to jigger as an example.
That's starting bartending in 2004 at Flatiron. It's like there were moments when you were allowed, only certain people were allowed to free pour, and you could only free pour your one and ones. But other than that, and your 1.5 ounce. And actually, it's really funny. Sasha, actually, when opening of Double Seven happened, he did a free pouring class. And Jim Kearns, my partner for at Rye House and everything, and he has taught me that class religiously. And it's hilarious because it's like you don't associate Sasha Petrosky with the free pouring, but his system for it is actually really smart, and he's super good at it. But he just will never do it except for when it's at a club and you need to get those drinks out fast. But we have proven that you can do fast drinks. Also, jiggering. Ivy's the fastest jigger I've ever seen.
That's right. That is right.
Although I haven't seen her and Yale together, that would actually like make my mind explode. But that would be pretty incredible.
Awesome. Are we going to serve our drinks in our tins?
I think so.
Oh, we are. It's the way real people drink drinks.
We're going to do dirty things here right now.
We've been sipping on some champagne. We can serve it in these champagne glasses.
Sure.
Or in these white wine glasses.
Well, as long as you guys are ready to judge at this time of the morning, let's see how it goes.
Do it.
As long as we remember.
All right, so you're going to have to walk us through what you're doing, and Johnny and I will provide additional commentary.
Sure. So the cocktails we're making are really simple today. We're making a gin gimlet, and we're making a classic margarita. So we're using Plymouth gin today with fresh lime juice and simple syrup. And then our margarita is Altos Tequila Blanco with Cointreau and fresh lime juice.
It's really funny because Ivy has like 7 things in her hands right now. She's drinking champagne. She's got simple syrup in the same hand, and she's got a handful of jiggers. And
multitasking.
She's like, you can see she's just ready. She's like at the starting line of a marathon. Like, just.
And is there any significance to that? There's like pink, kind of pink tape at the bottom of all.
Oh,
your...
yeah.
What's
yeah.
that about?
Well, pink is our color because we are Speed Rack, and also because things tend to go missing. And if you see anything wandering around New York or any other city in the country and now the world, if it has pink on it, it means somebody stole it from Speed Rack.
And these tools were all generously provided by Cocktail Kingdom. You can go to their website, awesome. cocktailkingdom.com, and they've given us the best tools to travel around the country with, which is pretty awesome. And these have been used. These have been through 22 competitions. Yeah. They're pretty
so
tough.
So you have the Japanese jiggers. Yep, these are Japanese tins.
Exactly. Which we're about to
Even
get.
Our initials are on the bottom.
Nice. Which we're about to get. We're about to get the Japanese jiggers in MLs because we're going to London in a month.
First international speed rack.
Nice. So
a proper speed rack.
A proper. Proper.
It might be a little bit more proper. MLs was throwing us for a loop.
Yeah, like, we don't know how to work MLs. It's really hard.
So, but the women there, actually, that was the first international country that reached out to us. That we're working with a great charity partner there called The Haven, who is an amazing breast cancer charity. And one of our judges there, Sandra Lawrence of the Cocktail Lovers, she is actually a survivor and a big part of the cause. So it's going to be a really wonderfully, you know, great time in London in June. Why not?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
Johnny, are you booked?
I'm in. Gas up the motorcycle. I'll meet you there.
I think we should pre-ice. I'm going to put ice.
Yeah, we probably should pre-ice. We're going to do rules we're not supposed to do.
Okay.
The girls are not allowed to pre-ice their tins until the time starts. Who's timing us?
I'll time you. I got
nice.
It.
All right, so we have Ivy on the jiggers.
Okay.
We have Lynette on the free pour. We have pre-iced gins, and you have to make both cocktails.
I'm doing my simple. Yes. I'm doing simple first.
The gin gimlet, right, and the margarita.
Like, we've never done a crouching speed rack before.
That's not what I heard.
Here we go.
Okay, hold on.
You guys have to count it off. So it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Let us know when you're ready. Look at her.
All right, Johnny, you're gonna count it off.
All of our bottles look exactly the same, so I'm trying to.
And Ivy has two jiggers in one hand.
Multitasking. It's the only way to go. Okay, I'm simpling first, Lynette.
Ready?
All right.
Okay.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Damn it.
Go.
Okay.
We don't make a mess of all of
your. Yeah. So Ivy does the simple first.
Yep.
Lynette does the. The lime juice first.
See, Lynette's got a different... Lynette uses both hands, but for different things. She has a bottle in each hand where Ivy has two jiggers in one hand. She's constantly flipping the jiggers back and forth for the different sizes, different volumes. Her left hand is... Oh, Lynette's already at the shake!
Oh, my God.
Oh, Ivy's dumping jiggers everywhere!
Lynette...
Very different shaking styles, too.
Are you working Friday night anywhere? We could use you at Amphora. Oh, my God.
Glasses. I need one glass.
I stopped it, but you're at 40-something seconds.
Done!
Whoa! Wow.
Okay. Well, we promise we'll mop all this up.
There's.
Okay, so I guess we should split the difference and add like 5 seconds, 10 seconds to my time.
We were like, we're in the 40 seconds.
My margarita is delicious.
But now it's coming to taste. So the most important part about Speed Rack is it is speed.
That was impressive.
And then the reason why we need judges, because obviously we could just have a clock, is the fact that it's speed and accuracy. So, you know, some girls might go up there and just do what I just kind of did and be all sloppy and throw shit everywhere. But if you aren't, you know, the judges are there to add penalty seconds to the score based on execution. And that's really key. So, you know, wash lines, things like that. If the girls are not stirring properly and they just throw the drinks out and you have a half glass of a stirred cocktail, obviously there need to be more dilution, more water. So that's why this whole system is in place. And the judges give that penalty seconds added on, and then that's how we calculate the winner.
So basically, so Lynette and I just went head-to-head, and everyone listening can hear, like, okay, Lynette finishes first, or Ivy's close behind. So how this works is that, you know, Lynette and I are head-to-head, and how we say this for the competition is you are behind the pink bar or the black bar. Those are our colors, and that's how we tell. It's like girl A, girl B, pink bar, black bar. So even if Lynette's behind the pink bar and I'm behind the black bar, and Lynette finishes, like, 30 seconds in front of me, and I'm kind of taking my time because I jiggered. That's good, right?
Actually, these cocktails
are. My free game is not bad. I've been
my margarita is delicious, I have to say.
These cocktails are spot on.
We've never actually poured lime juice out of ball jars. I'd say this is a first.
I mean,
it's very Bushwick of us.
I only taste the Lynettes, but they're freaking spot. Like, I want to drink that margarita by the pool.
Or you're going to like mine more. More accurate. Mm. But so basically how this works, you'd have to sit there and like basically you have to pick your favorite margarita. You have to say, okay, so Ivy and Lynette, like Lynette, yours is great, but maybe not enough dilution. Or Ivy, you put simple syrup in your margarita and I like only Cointreau. Like,
what, one definitely is a little bit more acidic than the other one, for sure. One's a little more sweeter, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think Ivy's a little more sweet, right?
Just a bit.
Yeah.
Just
a bit.
Because I have a pastry chef here.
Oh, you're pandering.
She's trying to she's playing my palate, you know?
But that's key, too, also. You know, these women have all been judged by, you know, Julie's been around for a lot of the competitions because we partnered up a lot with different cocktail festivals this year. So she judged, I think, 3 competitions this year. Nationwide. Yeah. Dale has judged a couple. Audrey judged in Seattle. But last year she did a lot of. Johnny's the newbie, so they don't know what he likes at all. He's going to be the one they have to guess and figure out what his game is.
Not only that, it's like, you know, the three of those have so many legs because so many people work between them. Like, I have no biases. Like, I can no one's ever worked for me. Like, so Dale might have 4 people that worked in front of him, or Julie or Audrey might have 10 of those girls might have worked for them at one point. So me, I come in, I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Like,
yeah. All right, ladies, I've hung out with Johnny before. What he likes is fast food and Diet Coke. Kind of. Just say you want to pander.
Don't tell the girls. Bring your secret ingredient: Coca-Cola syrup.
Diet Coke. Wow.
I'm just kidding.
But you know that's the thing. Like when they make drinks for Steve Olsen, you know, definitely go more tart. He will admit that he does not like. You know,
you've heard it here first. Steve Olsen is a tart.
Yeah, Steve Olsen is a tart.
We all knew that.
And he's very specific. And so what we hope is that from the quarterfinals to the semifinals to the final round, that the girls have listened to the judges and that they've learned. And then they can, by that final round, the girl who can make the perfect round for those judges sitting in front of her is the one woman who will be victorious.
So. I mean, and that's an important part of bartending, knowing who your guest is, who your clientele is. And making something that's going to make them happy ultimately.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But in the end, you have 4 different judges with 4 different palates. So you just have to make the best possible drink that you can that's in the middle somewhere.
Right. But like, point. For instance, so let's say it's Thursday at Speed Rack and Johnny orders his first drink and he orders a Negroni, right? And so the 2 girls go up, they order a Negroni, and he says to both these girls, hey, good job, but you guys did a Negroni in the traditional sense, which is 1 ounce each of gin, Campari, and sweet vermouth. And he's like, it's my first drink of the day, kind of got rough last night, I want more alcohol, please put more gin in my Negroni. And like, that's what people know now, okay? Johnny likes stronger drinks. And, or Audrey says, hey girls, I had this last word, another equal part drink, and so-and-so, you put so much maraschino in it that it just needs a lot more acid. I like drier drinks. And if anyone listening who's competing that day pays attention to that, they'll say, okay, more booze, Johnny, more lemon juice, Audrey. You know, yeah, and they have to keep that in their head.
Audrey's also a stickler for warm drinks too. So the girls quickly learned, like in the very first competition after like the first round, to start chilling their glasses. They're like, oh man, she keeps knocking us points for warm. Damn it, yeah. chill that glass. Yeah. And so
is that kind of how it works? Each of the judges will be like, order. I'd like to, you know, try an aviation, and then they'll have to quickly make an aviation.
Well, it's four drinks. So like basically how it goes is we have the girls up on stage. So yeah. All the judges will say, I want these four classic cocktails that have been predetermined, right? And they'll say...
I think the guys on the roof are doing some construction want yeah. a drink.
So they call it four classic cocktails. And yeah. these classic cocktails can be like a martini that everyone knows, or it can be something more obscure like a hanky panky, which is... a gin, sweet vermouth, yeah. and Fernet, you know? So the judges call them out, and then so if Johnny orders a old fashioned, he judges that old fashioned. Audrey will judge
them side by side. So we have a girl who's on the pink bar and a girl on the black bar, and I give them a little tasting mat, and they get the girl drink from girl black bar and drink from pink bar. So in this situation, you'd be tasting our two margaritas side by side and then giving us penalty seconds. So, you know, you'd say, Ivy, yours had more acid. Lynette, here's more sweetness. Ivy, I give you this. Lynette, I give you this.
Nice. Right. And so remind us just one more time, because we've got to wrap things up.
we're having so much fun.
Give us the... I didn't say we weren't having fun. We'll probably continue this fun after. But where and when is the competition? So we have it. It's on Thursday, Speed Rack.
It's Thursday, May 16th at Element on Houston and Essex. It's 225 East Houston. Right. You can find tickets on our website, www.speed-rack.com. You can see videos from last year. There's a link that takes you to liquor.com, who Perfect. Is selling tickets for us for the charity. This year, Share will be there, the organizations of Share Cancer Support. So come by, say hello. You'll learn a lot about the cause. You'll see the best women in the nation bartending and have a blast.
Yeah, it's from 6, it's from 6 to 10. So okay. It's kind of like a nice... happy hour, and it's really great because when people come and they decide to buy these tickets, it is 100% of proceeds goes to our charity. Thanks to our awesome sponsors is how we put on these events, and we're able to make every single penny. Like if you put a penny into we have like buckets around this, tips for boobs, and if you put a penny, that penny will go to charity. So it's really unique in that way, and we really hope that people come out and support not only the cause, but all the awesome women who are coming from across the country to compete.
So. Well, thank you both so much for being on the show and for doing this great work that you're doing. It's really important. I don't know anyone who hasn't been affected by cancer, and especially breast cancer. It just affects all of the women who are so important to us in our lives. So thank you. I definitely encourage everyone to at least if you can't come out and visit, buy a couple of tickets, or you know, send some of your tickets to your friends, donate. It's just such a great event, and thanks so much for being on In the Drink.
Thank you.
Thanks, Johnny Iuzzini. You're doing great stuff, man. What a fun surprise to have you here. Yeah. And tune in next week, 10 a.m. In the Drink on heritageradionetwork.org.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.